The grass is greener on the other side. Everyone knows that. We're flawless and powerful on the other side world, which is richer, brighter, and more vivid. And right here and now, a good old Beatles classic is filling out the air. You know this song, Yesterday? Yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away. And now I long for yesterday. And somehow this yesterday is so attractive that often we move in there, gradually losing grasp on the reality of here and now, while unfulfilled expectations, along with all the best and brightest moments of there and then, seductively lure us into the abyss of cozy familiar, without much joy. And sometimes with obvious annoyance, we exist in here and now as if it is an involuntary business trip. Why is it so? We had two literature teachers at the school where I worked a long while ago. It was apparent that one of the teachers was nearly appalled by the kids and consistently annoyed by her co-workers. The scene of the schoolyard filled with screaming urchins was a daily reminder to her that despite finishing the most prestigious university, she did not become a famous author, a popular journalist, or even a professor, but a divorced middle school teacher. I would never be here with you if my life had turned out differently, she would often say, not just to her peers, but to the children as well. Interestingly enough, at this moment, her face would light up, and we all witnessed how for several seconds she would immerse herself in her alternative, unrealized future, filled with accolades and admiration. And in a moment, the light would dim. The voice would become cold, and the difference between her dream and her reality would spill onto her students. Needless to say, she was no fun to be around, neither for us nor the students. The second teacher did not go to a fancy university. She loved literature immensely and was eager to share her passion with kids. She couldn't wait to be surrounded by kids, so she got her first job at school while still in college. She shared once that her childhood dream was to become a teacher. As you would guess, kids adored her and loved her classes. While at school, she was light, enthusiastic, and inspiring. You see, the grasp of unfulfilled expectations had no power over her. So does it mean you'll be happy if you do something you dreamt up in your childhood? You never know. I'm not sure if I would be happy and fulfilled if I obtained my childhood dream job. At least not the first one I dreamt up. But who knows? It was fall. I remember standing with my forehead pressed against the cool window's glass, mesmerized by the movement of a beautiful large turkey tail-like broom. The street cleaner was meticulously sweeping colorful fall leaves into precise, large piles. Through my child's eyes, the leaf piles seemed to be huge, at least double my height. I observed the process with fascination, with each sound of the broom's bristles shredding the ground, followed by the scrumptious sounds of the rustling leaves. I was dissolving into the moment. I could feel it. I could smell it. I could taste it. I was in it, and I was it. I was a street cleaner. I was a broom. I was a leaf. I was a scent. I was the air. I was so happy. And I said to myself, when I grew up, I'll buy myself a beautiful broom and become a street sweeper. This dream lasted for a short while, until at the tender age of 5, I saw my first ballet performance in a spectacular Kyiv opera house. The neo-Renaissance palace-like grandeur of the 100-year-old theater took my breath away. Everything, from the coat hanging service and spiral marble staircase, to the intricate spectators' binoculars, from the mysterious luring melody of the squeaking ancient parquet floors, to the etheric echo of the enormous embellished gilded ceilings, from the soft and ticklish feeling under my little fingers of the plush burgundy velvet lush trimmings, to the cool and smooth carved wood arms of the upholstered chairs, enchanted me into a dreamlike state. And as the majestic grandeur began to vanish with the dimming of the light, I could taste the anticipation in the thick air, the anticipation of something unknown, yet unseen, but absolutely, undoubtedly, miraculous. And then a big and powerful harmony of sounds exploded from the depth of the orchestra pit, filling up the space and taking my breath away. With the rise of the velvet curtains, the magical art of play was released as the white light poured out of the stage. I was mesmerized by the clickety sounds of the point shoes on stage, and I was taken away by experience, swaying, flying, and twirling away. I was a conductor. I was a ballerina and a ballet shoe. I was a violin and a drum. I was the air. I was the curtain. I was the white light. Yet again, I dissolved into the experience. I was there, and I was more than happy. By the time of the standing ovation, I was ecstatic. And I said to myself, I must become a ballerina. With new options to explore revealed to me the fact that there are so many other ways to savor the fall and enjoy the smell and sound of fall leaves was apparent. My child's mind moved on happily, with no sadness or disappointment regarding my previous occupation choice, without lingering in there and then. And just like that, later on, in the moments of complete and utter presence and involvement, I decided to become a vet, followed by a biologist, an experimental scientist, a zookeeper, a dentist, an eye surgeon, an animal defense lawyer, a teacher, and a delivery nurse. Well, I gave myself some options, you know. You see, my unfulfilled dreams and desires had no power over me. And I bet, just like that, many people went through beautiful childhood experiences when they felt utterly present and connected with everything around them. So I guess the question is, how come we move so much easier, without remorse or sadness, from one concept to another at a tender age? We are so open and curious, peeking behind every open door and eagerly reaching towards new horizons, connecting with the world and seemingly expanding our identity. But with age, we get more entangled and preoccupied with our perceived failures and successes, with what could have but didn't happen. We are getting lost in the web of our past experiences, expectations, and judgments, while gradually disconnecting from the world we are in. Veiled by the mirage of there and then, with its unrealized dreams and desires. So many human beings go through substantial stretches of their lives, if not whole lives, cursing life's circumstances while feeling unfulfilled, incomplete, and unworthy. The power of the past, the power of there and then, The power of unrealized expectations manifests in seeing happiness somewhere out there, in the past, or perhaps in the future, but not right here, in the front of us, in the full potential of the present moment. So there is an idealized version of events in our imagination, and only if both images, ideal and real, match, only then we feel that happiness is possible. And that is a recipe for disappointment, if not for disaster. An inquiring child's mind allows us to see the richness of the present moment, and in mindfulness practice is also referred to as the beginner's mind, a mind that is willing to see everything as if for the first time, fresh and new. No matter which activity you're performing, whether it's doing dishes, exercising, walking, engaging in formal meditation or yoga practice, cooking or eating, you can opt to engage our ever-exploring beginner's mind to free yourself from expectations based on your past experiences. A beginner's mind enables us to remain open to new possibilities by releasing us from the realm of our own experience, which is inherently limited. We all, in one way or another, have experienced a tendency to think we know more than we actually do. Yet, it's so easy for us to see that there are no identical moments. Each moment is unique and unveils unique possibilities. Life becomes an adventurous play if we embrace our beginner's mind in everyday situations. So the next time you encounter someone you know, check in with yourself if you're looking at the person with fresh eyes, not through your thoughts and perceptions. See those around you as they are in this particular moment, not as you think they would be. Try it with your friends, neighbors, or coworkers. You can take a good look at your pet or a plant if you have one. We can exercise our beginner's mind in everyday challenges or employ it while leisurely enjoying the day. No matter what's going on inside our heads, the life around us is always on, pulsating and evolving in its brilliant, never-ending play. So what a joy it is to be able to join the game. To be able to lift the veil of our preconceived notions, and with each moment, to rediscover water and air, rocks and grass, to sway with the branches of the trees, to dissolve into the softness of the cloud, to lose ourselves in the endless sky, to sparkle like a star. The challenge may arise when we start paying attention to our moment-to-moment experience, and our mind tend to get straight to work, labeling and categorizing almost everything we perceive. Just when you start paying attention, your brain begins its judging and sorting function. Good or bad, beautiful or ugly, appropriate or shameful. When I recognize this essential judging quality of the mind as it emerges, it presents me with an opportunity to take a broader view by suspending judgment and, to the best of my ability, impartially observing what's happening, including my reactions to it. There is an old fable I love. You might encounter it before, but allow me to entertain you. You never know. In a small faraway village lived an older man. He was a farmer with not much to show for himself, but he had a stunning white horse. He loved this horse very much and took good care of it. A lot of people attempted to buy this horse and offered an obscene amount of money to the farmer. But even though he was dirt poor, he rejected all the offers, no matter how large the amount was. Nothing could replace the bond between the farmer and his horse. One day, he discovered that the horse was missing from the stall. The news spread fast and the neighbors came. "You old fool, You don't even have a lock on your barn. We knew you would lose your horse one day. You should have sold it when you could. Now you're left with nothing. What a misfortune, they said.
You never know, the farmer replied. You never know.
People laughed at the farmer, but a few days later, at night, the horse returned, and not alone, but with a company. He brought a dozen horses with him. Again, people gathered. The old man was right. It wasn't a misfortune. It is clear now that this is a blessing, they said.
You never know, the farmer replied.
This time, people didn't say much. Yeah, right, they thought. Lucky old fool. The next day, the farmer's only son tried taming one of the new horses and fell down, breaking his leg. And all the neighbors came around and said, "Well, that's too bad. In your old age, your son is the only support you got. So what are you going to do now? This is a real misfortune."
"You never know," the farmer replied. "You never know."
Next thing you know, the war had begun. Recruiters came to the village, and all able men were drafted. Only the farmer's son was spared because of his broken leg. After saying goodbyes to their loved ones, villagers were crying in despair as they passed the humble dwelling and saw the farmer sitting in the front of it with his son.
"You were right, old man. Now it is obvious how fortunate you are. Your son is not much help, but he's still with you. Our sons and husbands are gone and might be forever."
The farmer looked at them and said, nodding his head, "You never know.
You never know." And so the story goes.
Wouldn't it be lovely to be able to suspend all judgment and accept each moment as it is, without categorizing it as good or bad, fortunate or unfortunate? Meditation entails adopting a non-judgmental attitude toward whatever arises in the mind. It is an essential part of meditation. But does that imply there won't be any judgment? Of course not, since it is the nature of the mind to compare, evaluate, and assess. But when it happens, we don't try to stop it or dismiss it in any way. In meditation, we just observe and identify whatever arises in the mind or body without judging or pursuing it, recognizing that our judgments are inescapable and inherently limiting notions about reality. A non-judgmental attitude does not imply that you are incapable of acting or behaving appropriately. Just because you don't pass judgments on others doesn't mean you are accepting of anyone's bad behavior, or that you don't care about the consequences of your own actions. This implies seeing that our perception is distorted by our thoughts and actions because they are being filtered through a sea of unconscious likes and dislikes. This understanding allows us to operate with much better clarity and bring more efficiency and balance into daily life, setting the stage for the greater experience of the present moment. The best way to liberate yourself from the power of there and then is to capture the moment by paying attention and being here now. The present moment is the only time that each of us will ever have. Our relationship with things changes when we pay close attention to our moment-to-moment experience, because this moment is the only time when we can do anything, anything at all. Only in the present moment can we acknowledge and perceive, learn and change, heal, love and leave.